ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A firefighter who was among those shot while responding to an explosion and fire at a Southern California retirement home has died of his injuries. Another firefighter and a separate person were also wounded. Authorities say the person believed responsible for that shooting is a resident of the facility. The investigation is underway with the suspect in custody. Police in Mentor, Ohio have a person in custody in connection with an early Sunday morning hit-and-run crash that left one of its officers dead. U.S. health regulators have approved the first prescription drug made from marijuana. It's a milestone that's expected to spur more research into a drug that remains illegal for now. Under federal law, the FDA approved the medication from GW Pharmaceuticals to treat two rare forms of childhood epilepsy. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is struggling, down 371 points. More details at srnnews.com.
We're expecting a mostly sunny day today and a high of 94 degrees. Partly cloudy this evening, overnight the low 76. And looking ahead to tomorrow, expected to be partly cloudy and a high of 92.
Hey guys, it's Doug McCary from SWAT Radio. Hey, Brad and I will be ministering and spending time with our families for the next few weeks. So join us in listening to some of our listener favorites from this past year. We'll be listening to programs about sharing your faith, discipleship, and what it means to follow Jesus. We'll be back live in a few weeks, so have a great summer. And remember, whatever you do, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary. A little echo in the ear set there, Cody, but I know that's not your fault.
It's never Cody's fault.
No,
Cody, man, is only the producer. It's always the equipment. He's just the guy that makes it work together.
Is this why I'm not married?
By the way, this is SWAT Radio. Glad to be with you guys today. And it's a Monday, new week.
Yes.
I'm going to be here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then you're on your own.
Friday, we're looking at having Cortez Ragland here, who is a lifelong discipler.
And I know we say this every week, Doug. You know, we are so fortunate, so blessed to have some of the guests come on. And it seems like every week we have a new guest that we're excited to introduce to our listeners. But, you know, just purely from a practical standpoint, there are very few men like Cortez Ragland that I've met who truly don't just talk about discipleship. They are busy. He is one guy on the move making disciples. And
he has been for a long time.
Yes.
And, you know, we're going to talk about some of the things he's learned. He's got really an amazing testimony too of his life story, kind of like Tony, a little bit along the lines of a Tony Nasrallah. You know, I mean, you would never know it because he doesn't wear it out on his sleeves, but he's got a powerful story of trusting in God's sovereignty in his life as he dealt with some difficult times.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so
he's willing to share his life with other men.
Yeah,
which is very important when it comes to discipleship. That when you're discipling somebody, and I have to remind myself this all the time, is that I'm not discipling them because I've got my life in order.
Well, none of us do,
right.
Do we?
I mean, that's what I appreciate about Cortez. He's totally transparent. He's totally honest about his own life.
Very humble man,
too. And he knows
too.
That he can sharpen others.
Yeah. So. It just has a heart for seeing people be in discipleship relationships, and has for as long as I've known him. I mean, he's always been about being with the people like that. Well, you know, I don't know, Brad, if you caught very much of the news over the weekend, or if you were watching. I mean, this thing in South Florida is it's a terrible tragedy that happened. You know, and a lot of people are saying it could have been avoided, but they're basing what could have helped avoid this on different things. I heard one commentator say there's already somebody ready to do this somewhere else, which should send chills up everybody's spine. But, you know, the thing is that evil is in the world. It mm-hmm. has been in the world since Adam and Eve, you know, took the bite and disobeyed God and brought consequences. And Cain and Abel, I mean, that was horrific. And throughout time, we've seen evil in lots of different forms. And so we as believers should not be surprised when evil surfaces. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't. We should not surprise. And we have to guard, I think, against getting caught up in the emotionalism sometimes of what's happening. And I feel really bad because a lot of these students are being used to politicize what's going on. And, you know, I'll tell, you know, I had people ask me, being a former FBI agent and Marine pilot, a lot of times, not being a Marine pilot, but just being a Marine, being around firearms, well, what do you think about the AR-15? Should people out there have it? And that the bigger question to me is, you know, what has happened in our culture? What has happened? Because AR-15s have been available to civilians since 1960s, mid-60s.
Yep. Right.
They have not been the choice of weapon of mass casualties in the U.S. Really until the last 20 years or so. And I think a lot of people, especially younger people, they're glorified in video games, they're glorified in other things. But the bigger issue is the lack of care, concern, discipline, values in our culture, the devaluing of life in our culture. General Kelly, I love General Kelly. You know, he was a top-notch Marine, but he put out a tweet over the weekend that caught me, and I was glad to hear what he said. He said, "Here's a fact that may be inconvenient for those who are all about the gun control. The NRA kills zero people a day and receives zero from the taxpayers each year. Planned Parenthood kills 887 babies a day, or one every 90 seconds, and they get over $500 million from taxpayers each year, which is a greater tragedy." Now, you think about that. Mm. I mean, yeah, if you want to have a debate on gun control, listen, They're most definitely, you know, Lori and I were talking, and she gave a great idea. I think, you know, if you can't buy alcohol, you shouldn't be able to buy a firearm.
I agree.
You know, if you're not 21, so to go out and buy that weapon, I have no problem with that. But to
interject here, just like alcohol, if a 18-year-old or 16-year-old or 13-year-old wants to get a hold of his daddy's whiskey,
He can get it. And that's the whole point, is it's about training our children and bringing value. See, and we talked about this, I think, some Friday, is mm-hmm. that the culture that we live in, we've elevated freedom for everybody to do anything, but it's all subjective. There is no objective morality anymore. And when you start going down that road, you have things like this happen. And people go, how did this kid fall through the cracks? Well, he fell through the cracks because we're more worried about political correctness than we are discipline. We're more, you know, there was one teacher that wrote a viral video that went out there talking about how, you know, there's no discipline of children anymore. And the parents, instead of holding their kids accountable for things in school, come and cause the teachers to be ridiculed mm-hmm. for them trying to hold their children accountable. There are people that are holding their kids accountable. Lori and I have witnessed that in the community. But there used to be, the community used to be part of holding
the
kids accountable.
Yeah, they supported the idea of discipline, structure, order.
Yeah.
Moral compass of some kind.
Yeah, and so what is so interesting about this whole thing is now we're seeing, you know, I saw they were going to hold protest. People are encouraging these students nobody's prohibiting them from, they're talking about staging a massive walk out of school to protest that there's no gun control. And a lot of these people are encouraging them to defy authority by not being there. And I just thought, isn't that interesting that the way that they're combating this, instead of trying to really address what the issues are, they're trying to go after a political opponent, or really a political ideology, which it was not the political ideology that killed those people. Mm-hmm. It was the evilness that was unrestrained in this young man. When you have 30 visits from a police officer and there is no help for that, there's nobody taking, I mean, and it appears, now I haven't done a lot of reading on this couple that took him in, but they did take the kid in to try to help him, I guess. But 30 visits from a police officer and no mental health person was involved, or nobody was really speaking to that. No arrest other than the initial taking in. I mean, what's going on that he could have a firearm? I agree. There, we do need some common sense things that are put in place to keep this from happening. But all the pieces were there for him to be recognized. The FBI got tips, you know? Yeah. So it was really, to me, a breakdown in the system that exposes the flaw, I think, of political correctness and political war that's going on in our country, to the detriment of all the other values that should be reinforced in people. So,
yeah. I mean, I think we're focusing on the wrong thing. I'm not saying even gun control, there isn't some room for improvement. Maybe there is, but you're right. I mean, we talked about this Thursday or Friday, right after the incident, that, you know, you could get an AR-15 in the 1960s.
In 1964,
yeah, is when they you didn't see this kind of stuff.
Yeah, actually, it went on for a long time. It was only in the last, I think, 20 years mm-hmm. that you started to see these. And again, I think a lot of these troubled people maybe feel that it's a military weapon, so they, in their minds, you know, but a pistol is a military weapon, too. And, you know, you can.
I think your point about, you know, abortion, even take auto accidents. Mm-hmm. There's more auto accidents than there were 10 years ago. Why is that? I think a lot of that could be attributed to texting while you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
So let's, you know, we have put things in place to keep people from doing that. They're still going to do it, and we're still going to have tragedy.
Yeah, I read one guy quoted, there were like thousands of people killed by drunk drivers last year. We should do away with motorized vehicles and go back to horse and carriages to keep people from killing people. That mm-hmm. And his point is, the issue is not the fact that there's a car. The issue is the fact that there's somebody driving a car who's irresponsible. And all these issues, we have to not get sidetracked by political agendas and really focus, because I think there is definitely a problem, and it's going to continue if we don't start addressing these issues. And one of the ways that we can address it is for the church to be aware of the people in our neighborhood, the people mm-hmm. around us that we encounter, and to be a light and salt to those people and take an interest in their lives and to tell them, you know, this past Sunday, you know, Tim shared about the lack of people communicating the gospel. And he reiterated this statistic that you and I have shared a lot. He said, I think up to 97% of the people have never told someone how to have faith in Jesus Christ. Hmm. As believers who go to church every Sunday, who listen to messages about the King that they serve, whose really mission was to do that. And why do we not do that? Well, we got a myriad of reasons. But the bottom line is, if we don't start doing that, then there is no light. Yeah. There's no hope for the kid like that kid down there.
Well, in fact, we're going to take a quick break before we came on the air. I was going to tell you, I'm working my way back through this book, What is the Gospel? By Greg Gilbert. Great book. In fact, forward by, I think, Al Mohler, possibly. And it's just talking about how we in the church can't really articulate the gospel, because we don't know the gospel. Many people don't know the gospel. A lot of people would say the gospel is, is God wants to transform our world. That's not true. I mean, he will transform it at some point, but the ultimate purpose of the gospel is that Christ died on a cross for me and you, and he rose from the dead. And yet, if you ask most people what the gospel is, they avoid that topic. People want to avoid the cross.
Yeah, well, and the cross is the essence of why he came. And he told his followers, if you're not willing to take up your cross and deny yourself, you're not worthy to be my follower.
Ouch.
That's hard.
It is. Hey, we'll come back. Join us today, 904-401-1413, SWAT Radio.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com.
Hey, folks, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary, Cody at the wheel. And, you know, we were just having this conversation. We're trying to solve all these gun control issues. But
well, no, here's the thing. People have had guns in their home for over 200 years, but these mass shootings only really go back to the last 30 years.
Right. Right.
And
I'm trying to remember. Was Columbine was the first one I could really remember?
Well, that
you know,
was
school shooting.
Well, do you remember the kid, the guy at the UT Tower?
At the University of Texas,
He had rifles. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here's the thing. Hunting rifles, you can get a hunting rifle and have rounds for that thing, and that's just as dangerous. So the point I'm trying to make is the guns are not the issue. The people are the issue, and the lack of restraint, the fact that our morals and our devaluing of life, it is so hard for people growing up. They see devaluing of life all over them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when you hear and you're taught these things, that's what I'm saying. When you have abortion on demand, the family has disintegrated in our culture. We've redefined it so many times now.
And you don't have to notify a parent that you're having that done.
No. My daughter can't take aspirin at school without something, but she can go get an abortion without a parental consent. That just makes
it would risk her life.
Yeah, that's just insane. But all that to say that as believers, that we have a responsibility to not get sucked in to the political debate from a worldly perspective. You know, our perspective is that what are we doing in light of all these things that we see going around us with the gospel?
Well, I think, Doug, you'll back me on this. We don't want to sit here behind this mic and not come across as not having compassion for what these families are experiencing down there.
Absolutely.
Because my heart breaks as a dad who's raised four kids are out of the house. I've still got one left who's a high school student. By the way, she knew one of the kids that had gotten killed. He was a swimmer, very good swimmer. He'd already signed, I think, to go to Indiana, and he was killed.
That's awful.
And so
these are
real
people.
Real issues, real people dealing with tragedy. And the answer, as much as we're not saying, hey, can we make changes in gun control? Maybe.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth a conversation. The thing that I'm saying, though, is that we can't get sucked into the ideological argument because, yes, should there be some gun things discussed? Yes. but we also need to be discussing what is wrong with our culture that would allow these young men to go into... There was a young woman up in a school planning a mass shooting up north. I saw that on the news the other day. They arrested her. They got her before she were able to do that. What is it about the human condition other than I know we're evil, but we're now so unrestrained that we would do that? And I think a lot of it, Brad, is the devaluing of life, the elevation of revenge. Yeah. Think about all the movies, mm-hmm. the entertainment for these kids, whether it's video games. You got video games that you get points to rape and pillage. Mm. You got video games that you get points for how bad you kill people and you maim them. I mean, think about what that reinforces to people in a culture that has no value system like we used to have growing up.
We're just numb.
We're very numb. And really, the church, for the most part in our culture, has been
silent. Well, because, it's political.
But we got people in churches mm-hmm. all over the country.
Right.
I listened to one of the speeches down there in South Florida, and obviously the young lady who was in the school at the time of the shooting was talking. And listen, when you've gone through something like that, it's like when I went to Harvey, people who waded through those waters, you know, one of the things you deal with post-trauma is you just let people kind of vent mm-hmm. as long as they're not harmful to you or harmful to somebody else. And that's why I'm a little upset at some of the media for capitalizing and trying to get an agenda across, because they're preying on the emotions of some of these people. And are their emotions valid? Absolutely. But that is not the time to put somebody up there and let them start spouting off, because they're just spewing raw emotion onto that microphone.
And understandably so.
Yeah. But the media is trying to play on the emotions of the American people. And you're right. We should have emotions. We should be heartbroken for every family that lost somebody, for every kid that was in there that is scared to death now to walk into a school because they're afraid they're going to be in a gun-free zone where they're a target. Hmm. So we've got to come up with some solutions. But those things aside, we also, as the church, have to be praying more. We have to be caring more. And we got to be sharing more. And those three things when you got a statistic like 95 to 97% have never shared the gospel with anybody, you've got a real problem with the mission of the church in America. Mm. So, and that's, you know, what Jesus deals with in Matthew 10. What we've been looking at is loyalty, and what does it look like and at what cost? And, you know, last week we dealt with how our loyalty was demonstrated in the first part of Matthew 10, the 16, I think, through 20, I think it was 16, we looked at 16, I'm sorry, 26 through 33, and this week we're kind of going through the rest of that. We kind of touched a little bit on it last week, but Matthew 10, 26 all the way through 42 deals with this issue of loyalty, what it looks like, what it cost, and actually how it's rewarded. And so today and tomorrow, we're going to look at this concept of the cost and how our loyalty to Christ is valued against other loyalties we might have or other things that might be important to us. And so why don't you read that passage in Matthew 10? Go ahead and read. I'd start in verse, read 26 all the way through 42 again.
Okay, here we go. Wait, 26. Matthew 10, verse 26. I don't have my glasses on here. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Verse 34, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Verse 40, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward.
So in this passage, in verses 26 through 33, we see how our loyalty is demonstrated. In 34 through 39, we see how our loyalty is valued. Really, what Christ is instructing them, this is how it should be valued. This mm-hmm. is the standard, okay? And then in verses 40 to 42, we see how our loyalty is rewarded, because there is a reward. And it's interesting to me that he spends much more time on the cost and the value than he does the reward. Mm. But he's letting them know up front what it's going to cost them. And so we looked at loyalty last week of being demonstrated by our witness of the gospel, our fear of God overshadowing our fear of man, our security in his sovereign love and care for his people, and the Holy Spirit ruling our lives. And we saw that in those first few verses, 26 through 33. This week, starting today, we're looking at the cost of our loyalty, the value of it. And he says, don't think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I'm not come to bring peace, but a sword. And what he's saying, first of all, is that our loyalty to him should be more valuable than our freedom from conflict. Hmm. And, you know, I shared a story at SWAT, Brad. A lot of times when we come into the Christian life, either, you know, even as young children, I mean, we don't get a lot of warning about how costly the Christian life truly is going to be for us if we are deeply surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, that's because there's a false gospel out there. There's an easy believism.
Oh, it's rampant. Yeah. And especially, but, you know, you don't see it in cultures where there's an immediate cost.
Exactly.
But I was thinking, I shared a story this week about a missionary named Jackie from Australia who was ministering in the Philippines. And she goes to minister in the prisons over there. And in the midst of ministering, the prisoners take over the jail cell. Now, she and nine other people are in there. She's raped multiple times. But instead of being angry at her captors, instead of being mad at God, she's praying for her captors. And they say her countenance never looked once like she was distressed. She looked at peace as she was praying for them after they abused her body. And in the midst of a gunfire, she gets killed between the prisoners and the authorities. But even as she's dying, her dying breath, she's praying for her captors who had violated her, and she's praising God. Hmm. Now that was a conflict. That was a sword brought into her life, not because of anything she did to deserve it. It was simply she was there proclaiming Christ, and it was the ugliness, the evil of the world. And yet, even in the midst of that, she was not holding on to some false peace that she thought she was going to have. Hmm. And when we come back from the break, I want us to look at a verse in Luke. And while you're out there listening, did Jesus promise to bring peace to the earth? Was that the promise in Isaiah when he came? Is that what the angels announced? So when we come back, Brad and I are going to talk about that.
A little trivia there. So yeah. Is our loyalty to him worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll touch on that when we come back. If you want to join us, 904-401-1413. If you're outside Jacksonville, call us toll free at 1-844-777-7928. Download the app, SWAT Radio, and you can check us out on our website. Listen live there, www.swatradio.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump has been holding meetings at the White House with the King of Jordan. He used the occasion to reiterate his determination to stop anybody entering the country illegally, citing Mexico as an example of one country that does guard its border.
Mexico holds people for 4 hours, for 5 hours, for 2 hours, and they're gone. We have people for 4, 5, 6 years, and they never leave.
The latest Gallup poll shows the president's job approval rating has risen to a new high. 45% of Americans surveyed approve of the president's job performance. Support among Republicans is at a sky-high 90%, 42% for independents. In Long Beach, California.
It's a sad time in Long Beach's history today. We have firefighters injured responding, just doing their job.
Sergeant Brad Johnson with the Long Beach Police Department commenting on the killing of one firefighter and the shooting of another as they responded to reports of an explosion at a high-rise retirement home.
We just show up to do our job, and firefighters, you know, they do a tremendous job, and they deal with fire. They don't deal with bullets.
Authorities say the person believed responsible for the shooting is a resident of that facility. The top Republican in the House says Harley Davidson's decision to shift some production overseas is proof that tariffs don't work.
Speaker Paul Ryan doesn't mention the president by name, but his spokesperson says the announcement by the Milwaukee-based company is, quote, further proof of the harm from unilateral tariffs. The company says the tariffs on Harleys imported into Europe will increase the cost of the average motorcycle by about $2,200.
As Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines, U.S. health regulators have approved the first prescription drug made from marijuana. It's a milestone that's expected to spur more research. The FDA approved the medication from GW Pharmaceuticals to treat two rare forms of childhood epilepsy. The British drug maker studied that drug in more than 500 patients with hard-to-treat seizures. This is SRN News.
Right now, we appear to be accident-free, but there is a disabled vehicle on I-95 northbound. That's the ramp to I-10. Also, a disabled vehicle in Nassau County on I-95 southbound before you get to State Road 200. That's the Yulee exit. And congestion building up on I-95 northbound all the way from Bowden to the exit at Emerson Street as you head towards downtown. Mostly sunny this afternoon, becoming partly cloudy tonight, low 74. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high 93.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary. It's Monday afternoon, and we're tackling the deep issues of our life.
Talking about conflict. And boy, you know, this, again, I do want to, because a question was asked about the, you know, you don't think people ought to have guns. One thing that is clear, and I think you probably heard it too on the briefing this morning, is that I think everybody can agree that this young man down in South Florida should not have had access to a firearm.
That's absolutely,
I mean, I think everybody mm-hmm. in the country would agree that that young man should not. Now, where's the dividing line?
Yeah.
You know, because, and that's where the two camps really depart, because you got this pro-gun vision and then you got the, you know, pro-gun control vision. Yeah, no gun vision. So I think we have to have conversations, but we've got to get away from the political hatred that has divided us for the last few years and try to get back to having the conversations on things that we share in common, mm-hmm. which we all would agree that if somebody has been visited by the police 30 something times and they're underage and they're troubled
firearms,
and they've got all these firearms, they need to have those firearms mm-hmm. not in their possession.
Now, I was not aware of this. I just heard it on the break that he lost his mother. This young man lost his mother in November, I believe.
Yes, and he was living with a family who they said did not see any outward visible signs.
Well, they knew he was trouble.
I think they did. Yeah, they had to have. But again, you know, I just want to say for a lot of people, it's always easier to look back with and see connections than when you're in it, because unfortunately in our country, political correctness rules, and if you have, you can't, we don't live in a military state where they just come in, and that's what probably happens as far as priorities. They have to have corroborating evidence and things that tend to link it more to a threat to physical violence than a trouble. There's a lot of trouble people in America right now.
Well, and this is something that we had a little discussion about, not you and me, but I've had, is, you know, and it goes in with what we're talking about here, our loyalty to Christ. Now, imagine this young man lived on your street or lived next door or across the street or two doors down or a block around the corner.
Yeah.
And you knew there were issues in that home.
Yeah.
As a follower of Christ, are you willing to go engage in that family's life? In this young man's life? Now, that's just a hypothetical question there. But if I'm asking myself that question, boy, there's a hesitancy to go do that.
Well,
that's because, Doug, in many ways, I'm far more loyal to the safety of my own family than I am to following Christ.
Well, and we're going to get into that just tomorrow, talking about family over loyalty to Christ.
Well, just to put some meat on the bone there, that's, I mean, I think that what you're saying is, and not, we're not blaming the church. This is simply to say that are we in the church, those of us who claim to know Christ, love Christ, follow Christ, are we willing to be Christ to those around us?
Well, Christ did not come for peace on earth.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make that statement clear.
So you're answering the question.
I'm answering that I asked, because I don't know what you think Luke says in Luke 2 when he was born. But he did not come to bring peace on earth except in the millennial kingdom, his millennial reign. There will be peace then. But, you know, Brad, getting back to even thinking about, I love one thing that Mohler said this morning. He said, in one America, we have a mentally unstable president selected by Russia who lies daily and stirs up bigotry and tears at our social fabric. In the other view, America says this president is a can-do president who tries to make America great again as lying journalists stir up hatred that tear across our social fabric. So you've got we got a divided country, and we're divided for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
As believers, if we should be divided, our division should be because we are so in love with Jesus and so loyal to him that we are unafraid to speak out the truth and give people hope, just like you said, even if it cost us something.
Yeah, because I think to go back to my question, would you be willing to engage in the life of this troubled young man back in maybe, so he lost his mother in November. Somebody knew he lost his mother. Now, I mean, this family's brought him in. It makes me wonder where they are spiritually. I mean, to bring this young man into their home. But what does it look like for me as a follower of Christ to engage in the life of this troubled young man?
Well, let's think about this young man. His first name's Nick, right?
Mm-hmm.
How then will Nick call on him who he has not believed?
Mm-hmm.
And how is Nick to believe if he's never heard? And how is Nick going to hear without someone preaching? And how is someone going to preach unless they're sent? And it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. You know, I'm not saying that Nick would have given in to the gospel if somebody would have preached to him, but that doesn't relieve us from the responsibility. See, we become so pragmatic, and we weigh the options of, well, you know, he didn't care. And I just wonder if we've applied that to Paul, the Apostle Paul. If he would have been walking, and there are actually places that teach, well, you know, they're involved in very immoral things, and they're not worthy to follow Christ. Mm. Now, Jesus said, if you're not willing to do that, you're not worthy. But yet he took that message to the prostitutes and tax collectors and the sinful people. He did not come for the righteous. He came for the sinful, which last I remember from biblical teaching that would qualify everybody, right?
Yeah, that's
correct. I mean, there's nobody except for Jesus. So is it more valuable than your freedom from conflict? I mean, that is such a tough.
Wow.
I mean, when he says sword, I came to bring a sword, I came to bring conflict. And just so people who might have said, well, you know, I think you're misreading Luke 2. I want to go back to Luke 2 when he was born and what it says in Luke 2, 13. And it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Why were they praising? Because it was the birth of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with him with whom he is pleased. And it might say in your translation with you know, men who are good, you know, but
so
it's peace for his people.
It's peace for those who have surrendered their life to Christ.
It's peace that the peace that is promised back in Isaiah 53 is between a sinful man and a creator merciful God. That is the peace that is talked about. It was, I mean, you can't tell me those guys in the orange jumpsuits over in the shores of Libya who had their heads chopped off that they were thinking about peace, although they probably did have a supernatural peace from God the Father mm-hmm. at that moment, mm-hmm. as many martyrs have had.
Well, and just to clarify, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Who is he pleased with? Those who are his.
Yeah, because
and he's pleased with them not because of their merit, but because of the merits of Christ.
Exactly right, because none of us can please God. There's right. nobody who pleases him. Our righteousness is like a filthy rag. And again, we do have to guard. You and I have made comments about this today, but I hope that people understand. We need to pray for these people down in South Florida, the victims. We need to continue praying for the victims of every mass shooting. I mean, I think of the people up in Connecticut who lost elementary age kids, who whenever something like this, it triggers in them the emotions. The people in Columbine, it triggers the emotions. Any shooting like this, I mean, even for listeners out there, if you've been a victim of a violent crime, I'm sure it triggers emotions, but it is a reminder of this evil world in which we live. And every time, I remember hearing John Piper teach on this one time, talking about every time there's an evil act, whether it's 9/11 or something like happened, it reminds us this is not our home.
Yeah, yeah. I'm reminded as you were sharing, one of our listeners out there, I think his name's John, who lost his wife and daughter in a tragic shooting.
No, it's Joshua.
Is it Joshua?
It was Joshua. Remember. No, I think it was Joshua.
You know, I'm sure that same way there. You know, and it seems like he even talked about the fact that, you know, you look forward to Christ's return because, you know, we're just ambassadors here. This is not our home.
We grieve as people who have hope, but we do grieve and we pray. And
well, I was thinking about it because you touched on it earlier in the broadcast. We've got to be praying for these people. We got to be caring for these people. What does that look like to care for these people? You know, to bear the burdens of others.
Yeah. I mean, prayer is a powerful thing, and it joins you. When you start praying for somebody, it does soften your heart toward their condition and what they're having to go through. And, you know, I just think when Jesus is warning his disciples here, you know, Jesus, when you think of Jesus, Brad, what do you think of? I mean, in the midst of something like this, if Jesus were there, what characteristic would pop into your mind?
Compassion.
Exactly.
I can picture him weeping with them.
Yeah.
You know, he wept over Lazarus. He wasn't weeping because Lazarus was dead. He was weeping because Mary and Martha were distraught.
They were. His heart was broken. And you know why else I think he was weeping? I think he was weeping over the effects of sin on the
absolutely.
Human race. And this is a modern day example for us of the ugly terrible consequences of sin on the human race that is out of the box, that is not going to really be controlled until the millennial reign of Christ.
Right.
And so until that time, our responsibility is to trust him, to follow him, to love him, and to be his witnesses of hope and ambassadors, like you said earlier, taking hope to these people who are hurting, man.
Mm. Yeah. Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses. What does that mean? Join us today. One more segment. If you want to call in, 904-401-1413. If you're outside Jacksonville, 1-844-777-7928.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary. Cody, so appreciative of all you do, buddy, keeping us in line, taking calls, which we do have a caller, and I want to take that real quick. But one of the things, Doug, I was thinking about is, you know, as we've been moving our way through this text in Matthew, isn't this great that, I mean, here's an opportunity in light of the fact of the issues of our world, we're able to turn to Scripture and discuss it. Challenge one another in this idea of loyalty. Where does our loyalty lie? And I'm afraid in many cases, those of us in the church have put our freedom, our political freedom, above our loyalty to Christ.
Well, yeah. And you know, but there are examples in our culture of people who have been loyal to what they felt like God was calling them to do, whether it's the fire chief in Atlanta who got fired. He wrote a book in his off time about his views on morality and stuff. And he ended up getting fired for that because somebody underneath him gave that book to a subordinate and they held him accountable because the person underneath thought it would be a good book, I guess, to help them. Coaches that are praying and told they can't pray. I mean, they're not even leading other people in prayer. They're just praying and told they can't pray, which is ridiculous. So there are people that have done it, but can you imagine what if all the professing evangelicals in America tomorrow said, you know what, our highest loyalty is going to be to Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what would happen?
Wow.
It would bring revival in our country. It would be unbelievable what we saw.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not happening right now, and we need to be preaching this. We need to be sharing this message, and you know it's right out of Scripture, man. This is Jesus teach. This is the first time he's sending the disciples out, and before they ever go out and encounter any real persecution, he's telling them this way before they endure. And I just thought, what if we, Brad, had received that? What if the instructions we received growing up, because very few, I mean, this is not a popular message. It's not a It's not going to bring a lot of people in.
So well, I mean, you know, I think back years ago when the WWJD movement happened. You know, look at Christ. What you asked the question, what do you think Christ would be doing in light of the current situation down in South Florida?
Well,
he'd be loving on those people.
I think we need to have a WWYDF bracelet. What would you die for? You know, I mean, and what is that? What is that for you? I mean, would you give your life for Christ? See, it's the giving of your life, and all those examples in that book, Jesus Freaks.
Mm-hmm.
Those are people who understood that this world was only a temporary passing place.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the root of our issue here, is that we're far too comfortable in our world that we live in for the loyalty to him to be a big L. And it is an L. It's just a conditional L.
Well, I think I mentioned this either Thursday or Friday. It may have been when we had John Bowers in last week, when we were talking about, you know, he's been all over the world in, you know, his ministry over 47 years. And so much of the people he encounters, following Christ is dangerous mm-hmm. in those countries. You've seen that yourself.
Well, yeah.
And yet here, we're not willing to follow him with nothing to cost, you know, with no cost. Who's to say we're going to follow him when there is something to be, mm-hmm. you know, that it's going to cost something?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. You're exactly right.
Well, let's take a call. Dave, are you out there, buddy?
Yeah, sure am.
Thanks for hanging on, Mr. Stratman. How are you?
Enjoy listening to your show. Thanks for sharing.
Well, we're thankful that
ministry.
Well, we're thankful for people out there who are willing to not only listen but support what we're doing, because we're just a couple of, you know, knuckleheads. Don't know a whole lot of what we're doing.
Dave's been a great encourager of missions for a long time. Glad to have you on, Dave.
Well, you guys asked. You said, "Well, would you bring in a kid like that?" And it made me think, a couple of years ago, my wife and I took in a young man that my daughter met who was homeless. And we fed him. We gave him a room. We took him clothes shopping so he'd be suitable for job interview and so on. And then he robbed us of all our gold jewelry. and we found out. And, you know, we said, well, I had asked him before we took him in, have you ever been arrested? And he said, no. Truth was, we found out after he robbed us that he had been arrested, but he had been cleansed from his record because he was a juvenile. And so I offered to take him to a motel. And then later he tried to steal my identity and my income tax refund because I'd given him a room that had my all that stuff in the storage cabinet, you know. But I didn't say that to complain. I just said that I'd do it all again. Okay? And oftentimes, we shrink back from living and doing what Jesus would do, because it's, you know, we live in Disneyland here. Very few of us are challenged by our faith to live it out in a way that causes us to sacrifice anything, you know. And I just, for anybody that's listening, encourage them to, you know, take the risk of lending a hand, being Jesus to somebody, and, you know, whatever it costs you.
Well, I think, Dave, you bring up a good point. And, you know, Lori and I have helped people out in the past and been burned by people that we were trying to help out that had arrest records or had not been totally honest with us. And you kind of live and you learn. And I think when Christ says, you know, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, I think that applies to this too. I mean, like, you know, you can have a heart of compassion to help people, but you can do it in wise ways. And I'm sure after that experience, you would do it again, but you would do it differently, I would think, based upon what's happened. True?
Well, I don't know. I'd probably check. I'd Google the arrest record.
Well, no, but even, I mean,
that's
putting safeguards against.
That's how we found it later, you know, when a police officer said, this looks like an inside job. And we Googled it, and we go, oh, he was arrested. And there was a firearm involved. And on the police record, there was nothing. On Google, there was records. So, yeah, I would do it more wisely.
Yeah, wisely. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Like, when we did it, we put somebody, a homeless guy, up in a hotel, and we were kind of naive, and you know, we just wanted to help, and so we went in, we paid for it, and the guy checked out of the room the next day, and we put him up for a week, so he got a refund of all the money and went and took that and bought drugs with it.
Well, let me just say this, Dave, because I've known you for a long time. I know your heart. It's so encouraging to hear you say you would do it again, which really goes, Doug, to the point we've been driving home, is where is your loyalty?
Mm-hmm.
And clearly in that statement that you would do it again says your loyalty is to Christ, not to the material wealth, the material possessions that you've acquired, you and your wife, over a period of time. And I think the struggle for all of us, and I love your depiction of, you know, we live in Disney World. You're right. I mean, we have everything we want.
Mm-hmm.
And we get so attached. And by the way, I'm guilty of it myself. I'm so attached to the things of this world that they are in many ways blinding me from the things that are all around me, of the people who need to not just hear about Christ, they need to experience Christ through us. You know, we are the hands and feet of Christ. And if we're not going to be that, who is going to be that? You know, even if we do lose gold jewelry or, you know, identity, whatever it is. And I mean, obviously, I agree with you, Doug. I think there's an element of wisdom we learn from experience. And maybe you do it differently. Maybe you don't.
Well, no, but all I was saying is when I went in the second, I did it again,
mm-hmm.
but the second time I made sure and communicated with the hotel. I put it on a credit card, and I said, if they try to check out, please revert the charges back to the credit card, which they do now because, but first time I just paid cash for it, and you know, and so I'm just saying that you're wise, and yet you're harmless. The compassion should be there. And Dave, I do appreciate the fact that you did that too. And you know, if you follow Christ, it's going to cost you. It will cost you. Jesus, you know, when Jesus healed the 9 or 10 lepers, only one of them came back. But 9 of them were healed. He didn't only heal the people that were responsive to what he had to say. You know, he healed people and was mistreated by people, and Paul was mistreated by people, Peter, they all were. And if you live for Christ, I can promise you, in the world in which we live, in this culture, you will be mistreated by people.
You'll be taken advantage of.
You will have conflict. Yeah. So thank you for calling, Dave. Yeah. Glad that you listen, and thanks for your ministry, brother.
Thanks for your ministry, guys.
All right, guys. Yeah. Well, you know, it makes me think of, you know, the guy on the corner who's got a sign in his hand who is in need, at least based on what you're reading on his sign. And sometimes, listen, we see it all over the place, and we become very numb to it, and we don't know whether or not. And you were talking about something not too long ago where you drove a guy down to the bus station.
Yeah.
He was trying to get down south, and you were willing to put him in your car, drive to the bus station, go in and buy a ticket for him so that he could get where he said he wanted to go.
He had just gotten out of prison. You
now,
know,
we don't know whether or not he ever went down there. You bought the ticket for him, so
No, I took him to the bus station. He came out, and I clarified with the bus station that if he did not use that ticket, because it's electronic, it would revert back to my credit card.
Mm-hmm.
So it got him up to where he was going. But, you know, the thing is, I had a gospel conversation with him going down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember when the guy was talking to me before I did make the trip down there, he was scared to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And believers should be the light. We should be the hope. We should be the ambassadors that you talked about earlier.
Well, I mean, I can't help but get this nail in the coffin here, is that the reality, you engaged with that man.
Hmm.
He may have not been the same neighborhood you grew up in or same political position. You know, I mean, that's the thing, is this is such a divisive topic, following Christ, that it permeates in so many areas of our life, politically, socially.
Well, yeah, sometimes our loyalty is more to a political party than it is to Christ.
Man, I'm telling you.
We've got to put the big L back in our loyalty to Christ.
Amen to that. Well, man, we're done. Yeah. We'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing. Hopefully you can join us, SWAT Radio.
And tomorrow we're going to be talking about family. That's going to be even more fun.
Yes.
Right, more
yes,
challenging.
As you and I who have big families, we're loyal to those families. Yeah. Hey, join us tomorrow, SWATradio.com.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWAT.